The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Okay, let's see if we can't continue here. We did run out of copies. We're behind. I'll have to make new copies on the next pieces next week, but we'll see what we could do here. He says, so the Chovas Alavova said here, it says, V'yiyah doyme, I'm just rereading the middle of this last paragraph, B'mnuchas nafsha v'rochav libo u'miyud da'agos l'nyonoi olomoi, a person will be compared in his in the peace of mind and the space of his heart, rochav libo, the breadth of his heart. I guess he's not under pressure. He's breathing easily. Umiut da'agoso, and the minimization. Every page is different here, but I'll find the place. And the minimization of his worry in terms of his life, he can be compared to an alchemist. And this is let me find you the place here. Well, we're starting Tchilosom, but I'm just here it is. Okay, so he could be compared to this alchemist. For who? He knows how to transform raw materials into precious gold and silver through his wisdom and through his skills. And in a sense, the Baal Bitochon can be compared to such a person, but more than that, not only does the Baal Bitochon have the ability to take raw material and transform it into gold and silver, in other words, he can create from lesser substances gold and silver. He doesn't have to worry about having anything. He can create the premier substances from the raw materials that he has. But more than that, the Beiteach Belikim, the one who has trust in Hashem, has 10 qualities which place him even above this alchemist. So now we're starting to read about those qualities, okay? Tchilosom, the first of them. Shebal hachmiyo tzorich lidvorim miyuchodim lamalocha. Lo yigomer lo yidover zolosom. The alchemist needs special things, special chemicals, special raw materials in order to accomplish his goal. He cannot create gold and silver from nothing.
Who he?
The alchemist. This person who has the ability to create gold and silver out of copper and metals, you know, cheaper things.
Alchemist.
Okay, the alchemist. Lo yigomer lo yidover zulosom. He will not be able to complete anything without the raw materials. So this alchemist, yes, he has this amazing power to create gold and silver, but he can't create it from nothing. He needs raw materials, and if he doesn't have the raw materials, he will have absolutely no success at all. V'lo yimtsoim b'chol eisu v'chol mokum. And these raw materials are not readily found at any time and in every place. There are times that he has the raw materials, there are times that he doesn't. So his great powers of creating gold and silver are limited by the accessibility and the availability and the finding of the raw materials. So he's a limited person, albeit he has these amazing powers. However, the one who puts his trust in God, tarpoy muvtochloi mikol sibo mi sibois ho'olam. He says, the one who trusts in Hashem, his sustenance is assured to him from every sibo misibo soilim. And here the language is a little bit strange, from all of the sibois. So I think that they said, I noticed over here, somebody explains this a little bit better. He says, I'm sorry, where I saw this. Mikol Siba here is at the bottom of the pas lechman. If you see that, klomar shekol dover sheb metzius yocholi usiba letarbo beretzon abiri. Mikol Siba, in other words, he can actually get his sustenance not only can he get it? But it's muftachlo. He's guaranteed on this kesef hazohav, on this sustenance, on these results that he needs for his livelihood, for his life. Mikol siba, misiba son, from every siba in the world. So he says what it means, that anything can be the cause of his sustenance if God wills it so. So he has one advantage, that he doesn't need anything, because so but it's interesting. Like it's really a perfect moshul. Because in the moshul, see, I would have assumed it wouldn't be a perfect moshul. I said, oh, the alchemist is making from copper and raw materials,
he's making
gold and silver. So I would say, but the person who has trust in Hashem, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything. Hashem just gives it to him. So he's not saying that. He's saying because Hashem doesn't just give it to him. He's not trusting in mon min hashamayim. That doesn't seem to be what the Chayus HaLavovus is telling us, that we should trust that Hashem is going to give me mon min hashamayim. Mon min hashamayim was no siba. There was no raw materials, right? There was no raw materials. The only raw material was, you're Jewish, you deserve it. The only differential was if you were worthy, it came to your doorstep. If you're a little less worthy, you had to go out and collect it. If you were very bad that day, you had to go far out in the field to get it. So that was the only difference. But other than that,
the mitzvah who went together with the Jews also got money.
This I don't know. Really?
What,
the Erev Rav? The Erev Rav, maybe. That could be.
Otherwise, I wouldn't
know. Okay. That could be. But it doesn't matter. But that was something that happened directly, Min HaShemayim. We don't have that anymore. So we can't tell the Baal Bitochen. We're not telling the Baal Bitochen, hey, don't bother going to school. Don't bother going to work. Don't bother getting a job. Don't bother getting up in the morning. You'll have the mon at your doorstep. No. But we're telling him something else. We're telling him, says, you don't need raw materials, because your raw materials exist in the world memela. Because your sustenance can come from any cause. Any cause always exists.
Can come from what?
Your sustenance comes from any cause. Uh-huh. Any cause exists all the time. If it's not that you got a profession, lottery ticket. If it's not this, you'll find it in the street. Whatever it is, any source. Any source. That's what I see. But it's a cause, a source. Yeah. So in other words, and that's what he says. Anything that exists in creation, in the world, any existing object, anything, it could be the source of his parnosa, of his sustenance with the Rotzen Hashem. So Memela, he's in much better shape. He doesn't have to worry about stock. He doesn't have to worry about inventory. And he doesn't yet have to be thinking that he's going to get mon min hashamayim. But he could look at the world. It'll come from any place. Look at any place. Who knows? Reminds me of a story. I don't know if I ever told this story over here. And these days I talk so much and I tell so many stories that you'll forgive me if I repeat them, but some of these stories are worth knocking into our brains. I have a sneaking feeling that sitting in the other side of the room I did tell this story. But it's exactly this idea. Well, I mentioned that when we were in California there, my daughter told me she needed 75 cents to go to Disneyland to get a soda. Remember such a thing?
No,
maybe not. Okay, fine.
Maybe, so, maybe over there,
someplace
there.
Else. No, okay. Anyway, so she needed 75 cents. She's going the next day with her day camp. It was the middle of a hot summer in Los Angeles. She's going to Disneyland. She needs 75 cents to buy a soda. I said, I don't have 75 cents. I didn't have those days. Times were rough for those days. I didn't have 75 cents. She says, what am I going to do? I said, daven. You know, ask Hashem. He'll help you. So she and her sister, she was about 8. Her sister was about 4, I think, around that. So they sat down to daven, to say tilim. And then she, after a few minutes, she says, I don't get it. It's nighttime now. Tomorrow morning at 7:30 in the morning, I have to leave. I need the money now. I understand that davening helps, but where's it going to come from now? Like, she didn't get it, you know? So the little one, who was 4 years old at the time, says to me, she says, you know, maybe Hashem will send somebody who has to give you money or something like this, like some nothing, some absolutely, how does it say, kol siba sheba mitzius, some just bizarre, maybe someone will think they have to give you money. She went the next morning, she didn't have the money. She comes home, she was smiling, beaming. What happened? She says that a girl from her camp who was in her class, 5 months ago, Purim time, borrowed 75 cents from her. She woke up that morning and she said, I remember I borrowed from my friend 75 cents. I never paid her back. That morning she took the money to Disneyland, and she on her own said, "Here, I'm paying you back." So in other words, it doesn't need any Siba. It could be from any place. It could be from no place. Here, this is mamish out of nowhere. This is out of an activity, an action that took place. It doesn't matter. Because for the Rabbeinu Shleilah, Birotzein Hashem, if the Rabbeinu Shleilah wills it. So look what an advantage we have. We don't need any raw materials. All of our raw materials are constantly and perpetually in existence in the world. Everything is there for us. Just a question of the Rotzen Hashem. Says really a person doesn't live al lechem levadoi, ki al kol moitzopi Hashem yichye ho'odom. Now, the bread is the thing that we live on. A person is not going to physically survive this world al pi al kol moitzopi Hashem. You know, the ruach Hashem is going to emanate and dominate his life. He's going to die because the body needs lechem. The other thing is, it isn't ala lechem levado yichyeh odom, because it isn't the bread alone. The bread really represents something else. Bread represents the result of moitzopi Hashem. That's it. It's the moitzopi Hashem that generates the sustenance. Therefore, you have, and this, the moitzopi Hashem, is a constant, so you don't have to worry about anything else. Okay, ki e.
There's a word on the moitzopi Hashem, it's an allusion to the bracha. When we make a bracha, uh-huh, and the food,
that's what
that like sort of separates the physical from the spiritual. I forgot where I saw it.
Okay, that's interesting.
That's a piyushev,
okay, know. That's well, it's the same thing. In other words, it's all from the Rotzen Hashem. The Rotzen Hashem comes about.
I mean, it's a stretch to do something. Here, but
yeah, but if it's a schus of you doing something, okay. He says, according to this, causes or the raw materials, so to speak, are never withheld and never lacking. Any time and any place. In other words, if the raw materials that you need are copper and whatever it is, you know, some physical raw materials, you may have it, you may not. But these raw materials, this raw material is the Meitzipi Hashem. This raw material is any Siba. Any Siba in the world can bring it about. So they're never lacking, because the world is never lacking something, which anything can bring it about. With the mice Elio, and the Oravim that he was sustained in the midbar, and the ravens brought him water there. And over there, she too, she was miraculously. I think that what happened with the tzapachas was full of oil, and it kept filling up more and more oil, and she was able to sell it, and she got her miraculous people are sustained miraculously. Ovad Yohu in hid the Nevi'e Hashem 100 Meo Ish Chamishim Ish 50 at a time in a cave, and they were all taken care of with lechem v'mayim. That's, in other words, I guess this is even beyond. This is even more dome lemon. This is even
closer
more
do.
It's closer to mon. We just said mikol siba misiba so'olam. Kol dovor. So then, this is a little different. You see, the pas halechem said kol dovor shebimitzius. That's that. Really, the pshat is means any physical.
The Lev Tov here says something. He says a similar idea. It says the whole davar v'davar ba'olam yochol lios ha'em tzoy leparnasasa kashahabari wrote it. And anything in the world could be the middleman to be the.
In other words, here it's the raven. Here it's the raven. Here it's the shemen. Right. Here it's the v'achal kalim lechav amayim. There it was.
But where did it come from?
Miraculously, I guess anything. I guess that's really. It's more mashma from this comparison to these psukim that it isn't a physical thing necessarily, a physical siba. It could be a physical siba. It could be a miraculous siba.
What does siba mean?
A cause. Oh. Well, it could be through a source. So anything. So that's anyway. Okay, let's leave that. Let's move on but that could be any source. V'omar kfirim roshu v'ro'evu. That these lions, powerful animals, are poor, you know, impoverished. They don't have, and they're hungry. You know, even an animal, even the how do you call it, the king of the beasts. You know, there are times when it's gatenished. It's not so easy to make a living, even for a lion. But dorshe Hashem lo yachzaru kol tov. Those that search out Hashem, and that really is one of the metaphors for a Baal Bitochen, that he's constantly searching, looking, coming closer and closer and closer to Hashem. He's maintaining that relationship with Hashem. Lo yachzor kol tov, they won't be lacking anything. So we see that it depends upon Hashem's desire and our relationship with Him, rather than on having any particular siba. Because here it's even tkfirim rosh shuv ro'evu. So in other words, I guess there's nothing around. If the lion can't find anything, then there ain't nothing around. The dorshi Hashem, they have never anything to worry about. But Omar, yirues Hashem kidoishov, fear Hashem, His holy ones, ki ein machsor lireyov. There is never any lack to those who fear Him. In other words, if our connection, if our focus is with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then we are on a different system. We're not on the system of I need the raw materials to translate them into physical sustenance, but it's my connection to Hashem. Therefore, I have an advantage over the alchemist because I need nothing except the eternal constant that exists in the world, and that's the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Okay. The Hasheni. And the Baal Bitochon has another Mila, another advantage over this alchemist. Ki al bal hachimio tzorech lemasim v'limelochis. The poor alchemist has to work. He has to do something in order to... You can't change copper to gold without putting in a day's work. Lo yush... What?
Even so you can't.
All right, but whatever he can do, but he has to work. Lo yishlam lo yichevtso zulosam. He will not have his desire completed without him. Now, this is very important, Agav, to point out. You know, these chevra, the Rishonim, the Chevra Salavobas, and the others, they were very makbid on every word they said.
Makbid means strict.
Very, very careful, I mean to say, but strict. It really means strict. And they, anytime they said a word or a phrase or a concept, even if it was in a different context, they would never say it in a way that wasn't actually describing the essence of the concept. They don't, like for poetic reasons, they change it a little bit, or for convenience or for laziness, they make it, you know, just say it this way, but that's not exactly what I mean. We take them literally. They called Chazal say Loma Nikro Seifrim. The Rabbanon are called Divrei Seifrim, counters, because they were Seifer Umoine Kol Ois V'Ois Shabbat Torah. They counted every letter of the Torah. They counted every letter that they said. Every word was precious. They said what they meant, and they meant what they said. So he's talking about the alchemist, as opposed to the Baal Bitochen. So he says Lo Yishlam Lo Yicheftzei Zulosam. What is a Baal Bitochen then? What is the goal of the alchemist and the goal of the Baal Bitochen? That it should be mushlom his cheftzoi. In other words, what is a Baal Bitochen? Baal Bitochen, we're not talking about just a person whose needs are going to be granted. We're not just talking about a person whose needs are going to be granted partially. You'll get a care package. You know, we won't let you starve. Well, we won't let you go hungry, but, it's a question of hashlomas, filling, fulfilling, completing, heftzoi, his desire. Now, that is a radical concept. When we talk about the Baal Bitochen, we're talking about a Baal Bitochen will have his desire fulfilled. And this is, I think this is a very important point, if I could elaborate on it for a moment, that oftentimes, people, we talk about bitochen. Bitochen is a schus to the degree that you have trust in Hashem. It's to that degree that He will actually sustain you and give you what you're relying on Him for, and such concepts. Well, sometimes people are disappointed that it doesn't happen. Now, of course, there's many reasons for the disappointment and for it not happening. First of all, it ain't so simple to really trust. Like the famous story that we mentioned, I'm sure, at the beginning with Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, where the guy said he needed 10,000 rubles, he told him to buy a lottery ticket and have bitochen and he'll win. Habitochen, 1, 2, 3, 4, a month, 2 months, whatever it was, and he didn't win. So he comes back to Rabbi Yisrael. He says, I had bitochen, I have 100% bitochen. It doesn't work. He says, you got 100%? He says, are you sure? He says, I'm sure I'm going to win 100% bitochen. He says, will you sell me the ticket for 5,000 rubles? It was supposed to be for 10. He says, yeah. See, if you had 100% bitochen, you wouldn't sell it for a penny less. So the pshat is, on the one hand, sometimes we have 100% bitochen, we don't have it, we think we do, we fool ourselves, and that explains why we don't get something else. But there's something else, there's another secret which I think is over here. One of the yesodos of bitochen is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to our desire. It's to our desire. It's the pshat. In other words,
when you say desire, you mean our wants or our needs? Which?
Well, no, not only our needs. Our needs are certainly our desires, most times.
Yeah.
But beyond our desires, even our wants. And let me explain. Let me just explain what I mean. Even our wants. It isn't just a matter of need. It's a matter of want. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta and the Rashash had a machlekes about whether bitochen helps on luxury. That was a question, because that's not mefurish. Here we talk about tarpoi, we talk about his parnosa, we talk about health. The examples that many of the examples that we have lechem kilo ala lechem levada yachal kolim lechem v'mayim tzapiches hamayim, you know, elio ma'orovim. We talk about the fundamentals. The question is, does it go beyond fundamentals even to luxury? So it's known that the Rashash held that it doesn't necessarily go on luxuries. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta held goes on luxuries too. And the famous story goes that's the story it's told. It's said over so many times by Gedolei Olam that I'm sure that it's reliable. That once Rabbi Yisrael told the following story. That was their argument. So once it happened in their generation that there was a ship that was at sea and was very threatened by terrible
turbulence.
And they were all panicking. It was mamash, it looked like, you know, in those days, they were little shvacha, little ships. They didn't have very strong, even today, you had just recently, you know. So, yeah, it's not, anyway, they were very concerned. So the captain of the ship goes on deck. I guess he must have been Jewish. And he says, he speaks to God, and he says, if you allow this ship to come safely to port, I will take my gold watch. I messed up the story. Please forgive me. Rabbi Yisrael was going to prove his shita to the Rashash. Now, don't ask me how can he prove it with a maisa, because you have to prove it with a halacha, and this is leba shomayimi. I don't know the answer to that. But Rabbi Yisrael says, I'll prove it to you. I'm sorry, I haven't told the story for a long time, you could see. So he says, Rabbi Yisrael says, I'll prove it to you. He says, I have bitochen that I'm going to get a gold watch. Rabbi Yisrael said, I have bitochen, a gold watch is a luxury. I don't know, not this kind of gold, you know what I mean? A real gold watch is a luxury. I have bitochen, get a gold watch. So, fine. So then there happens this mice with the turbulence at sea, and the captain says, Rabbeinu Shalalem, if you allow us to land, to dock safely at this port, I will take my gold watch and give it to the rabbi in the city. Bekitza, the storm ceases. And they pull into the port, and the captain searches for a rabbi. He finds the Rashash, and he brings him the gold watch. The Rashash says, he looks at it, and he says, go to Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. It belongs to him. You know? So that was the story. So Rabbi Yisrael held it goes by luxury. But I think here, the Chavis Halvava seems to say, lo yishlam lo yicheftzoi. It's the fulfillment, the complete, shole means total, complete, of his chefetz, of his desire. Not just his need. His mozoin, his tarpoi, his mlechem and mayim are going to be answered with bitochon because of the fact that he wants it. Okay. If that's the case, that's what it sounds like, because he doesn't use these words, you know, just loosely. Now, if that's the case, kumtis, something very interesting. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Peseches Yodecho U'masbi'a L'chol Chai Rotzei. Hashem opens his hand and he satisfies to every creature according to his desire. Which means if you desire, and again, it's mashma, the same thing. I would be less, from a posuk, it's less clear to prove something. What?
I have a rebuttal to what you're saying.
Well, let me first say it. Can't have a rebuttal before I say it.
Yeah.
Okay, so give me a chance first, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we say like this.
that it sounds like that he opens you. We say to Hashem, you open your hand and you satiate, you satisfy every living creature according to its desire, according to its will. That's what rotsu means. Now, but let's leave that for a moment. But what it does seem to say is that certainly when it comes to parnosa, that there is such a thing that Hashem will take care of the parnosa, right? This is the basic thing. That's the school, you know, it says you should be mechaven in that posuk. It's a school of a parnosa because that really says Hashem takes care of all parnosa, okay? If that's the case, I'd like to ask a question, a very bizarre question, and the approach to this whole thing is a little bizarre, but bear with me, because I think this language bears this out somewhat. Has a person ever die of starvation?
You say how or does?
How does? I imagine it's happened. I know it's happened. If it's l'chol chai, it's happened to goyim, that I know for sure. I'm sure it's happened to Jews too at times. You know what I mean? There is such a thing. What's the pshat? So it occurred to me as follows. The pshat is like this, that the Baal Bitochon is guaranteed. He's not going to lose. He's going to get everything he needs. He certainly is not going to die of starvation. What happens, though, when towards the end already, you know, he has bitochon, one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, nothing is happening. There comes a point in the life of the Baal Bitochon where the test of bitochon, he starts to get a little schwach, he starts to fail a little bit. Like, he says, it's not happening. So he may be giving up. Now, however, even though he gives up on the bitochon, the rotzon should kick in. I still want to live. I'm not sure that he's going to give me. I'm not sure I'm going to make it. 5 days I haven't had food. But I want to live. So if he wants to live, he's poseches yodech umasbiya l'chol chai rotzon, why doesn't that kick in? So I think maybe the pshat is like this. What do you need? You need bitochon, but you also need something else. You also need chayfetz. You also need rotzon. Because what happens is like this. If you lose the rotzon, then you lose even the minimal focus of what the bitochon does. Bitochon says, hey, I'm not going to disappoint this person's rotzon. So say like this. What happens to a Baal Bitochon as he loses bitochon? You know what happens the last minute? He gives up the will to live also. In other words, there's such a thing. We find that phenomenon all the time. That he's confident. Then all of a sudden he says, no, he says, it's not happening. You know something? I don't even want it to happen. In other words, in a sense, a person says, I'd rather die happy than I wasn't disappointed, rather than still wanting to live and die anyway. When he sees that point, when he's given up so much bitochen, so he throws in the towel. We find that the doctors talk about that, you know, and the will to live is a critical, it's a lifesaver sometimes. You know, that sometimes makes the difference between those who succeed in treatment and those who don't. So at the end, he throws in the towel. So the pshat is that the Baal Bitochen has to be also, the Baal Bitochen, in other words, the pshat is like this, that there's an ingredient even beyond the bitochen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with, and it seems from here that it's not just a separate system. It seems from here the system of bitochen is, I won't let you down because of your bitochen. I won't let your will be disappointed. However, if you lose your will, then you may not even have the ability I may not feel the need to respond to all the bitochen that you had because you gave up. In other words, what I'm saying is like this, that it could very well be that what happens to the Baal Bitochen is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this man is trusting me. And he so wants it. This is what he wants. How can I disappoint him? He's chalashing for this. He wants it. This means more to him than anything in his life. And therefore, because it's his will, therefore I have to respond. So he's responding not just to our Bitochen because we need it, and not even just to our bitochon because we want it in luxury, but it's the pshat, it's the chayfetz itself. It's like, in other words, it's like, you know, it's like, I guess in a kid, you know, your kid wants something. So you're not really, it says, oh yeah, I need it. Oh, please give it to me, please. And I'm sure you're going to give it to me. You're not going to let me down. You're not going to let me disappointed. Okay. But there comes a point where I see how much he wants it. That influences. It seems that that's a factor in Bitochon too. How much you really want it. Therefore, it's not enough to say, and this comes out in Afkamina LaHalocha, it's not enough to say, I trust Hashem's going to give it to me, I trust Hashem's going to give it to me, I trust Hashem's going to give it to me. But I'll tell you the truth. If he doesn't, no big deal. I don't really want it so much. I'll survive without it. But I still trust he's going to give it to you. Don't do that. Because it could very well be that the underlying koyach that Hashem responds, what forces, so to speak, Kavi Yochel, his hand, what he's responding to, what his Rachmonis is responding to, is that I don't want to disappoint your trust in something that you so passionately want.
But
so the wanting is very important, and it's very important to keep that will to live, to keep that will for it to work. It's not enough just to trust in Hashem, because the trust is the merit by which we achieve. But the mechanism that it works, if it's for us to conjecture about it, may very well be that he's going to be mashlim his chefetz. Because if you have a chefetz, if you have a desire, I don't want you to be disappointed. Disappointment is a very painful, human desire. You know, if you say to a kid, I'm angry at you, you're angry at me. No, I'll be angry at you someday too. You say, I'm disappointed in you. That's the biggest, especially to the Tzelem Elikim, because this is a person that, you know, he's an optimist. He has feelings. He has desire. Disappoint? So Hashem doesn't want us to be disappointed.
Chafetz means desire.
Chafetz means desire. So it's very important. So the lesson from this whole thing, after this whole speech, which I apologize for, maybe took a little longer than it should have, but the lesson is that we need, besides that trust in Hashem, we need constantly to maintain that desire. And the truth of the matter is, let me just finish.
Sure,
No, not at all, because I just want to get it out. The truth of the matter is, this probably helps to explain something else. Because one of the questions that we've alluded to, maybe we've even discussed it, I don't remember exactly to what extent, but I'm sure we've touched on it, which always keeps coming back in the Bitochon, is that it's a bit of a vicious cycle. It's a bit of a, like, which came first? Like, I'm trusting Hashem that he's not going to let me down. But how do you know? Maybe you have no right to trust him because you should be punished and you shouldn't be getting it. You don't deserve what you're asking for. Or maybe it's not even for your benefit. So, like, how could you trust him? How could you trust him that he's going to give it to you? It's not rational, when in reality, maybe it isn't. You're not supposed to get it. It's not for your good, or you don't deserve it. So how can you trust in the first place? So I think we indicated in the introduction that this trust is an emotional thing. In other words, and that's maybe why it says that you're not mechuyev in this bitochen. Because logically, it isn't logical. How can I trust that for sure I'm going to get my parnosa when maybe I don't deserve parnosa today? That could be. However, I can trust because it's something emotional. My emotional feeling, I just know you're not going to let me down. That emotional feeling connects very logically with my desire. And what is it based? If you really don't desire it, so where does this emotional feeling come from? Oh, I just know you're not going to let me down. Why? Just because I want to show that Bitochon works? Just because I want to feel that, hey, I control the world? Like, what is it? No, it's because it means so much to me. It means I want it so much. So that chefetz is almost the trigger of this emotional confidence that he's not going to let me down. It's because I just, by most things, I could tolerate you let me down. But this I want so much, I just know. You're going to disappoint me on that? Listen, if I deserve, it's almost like you say in a different language. If I deserve to be punished, you'll find something else that's not so painful. But not this. This is the desire of my life. I've only asked you for one thing in the last 20 years. I don't bother you, to have a good relationship with him. He don't bother me, I don't bother him. I only one time, this, which means more to me my whole life, you can't do it. So this chefetz concept is very important. Okay.
Yes, may I speak?
Yes.
Okay, you start out this diatribe by saying that...
Ooh, God, that's a rough word.
And God grants desires with an open hand. But it seems to me that we, being largely imperfect beings, often confuse needs for wants. There's a famous philosopher who says people will pay for what they want, but not for what they need. That's the whole problem in the human race. And your needs matter far more than your wants do. Not say it's wrong to have wants, but your needs matter for more than wants. It seems to me that because we live in a world of ego and personality and constant distraction, it's bone hard work to figure out, if I'm crazy, someone stop me, to figure out just to have perfect objectivity and clarity of vision about what your own needs are. And it seems to me, to Salzburg, the only person who has a right to ask in supplication for these things from Hashem is that person who has perfect clarity about what his needs and then his wants are too. So you can go to Hashem and say, okay, grant me this and grant me that. Otherwise, what you call your desire, Rabbi Cohen, under suspect to you of the Bolus Halababas, is are distractions and things you don't really want, things you think you want,
okay,
but you don't know what you want. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, now, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. So I would say to you,
because God is perfect.
I would say one of two things.
Yeah.
Either you're right, and the things that I really don't want, except I think I want, that may be the area where he says to us, hey, you know something? This one I'm not going to grant you. In fact, I'm going to grant you something else. Because you think you want it. For example, let's say a guy is trusting, let's say he wants a certain shidduch. Okay, he wants a certain shidduch. He wants a certain job. He wants to get a land a certain deal. So I wanted this. I want this. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. The best thing that ever happened to me. I want it. And he doesn't get it. So maybe what Hashem says to him is, hey, something. Hey, sonny boy, you think you want this deal? You don't want this deal. You want money. You want accomplishment. You want what this deal brings. It ain't going to bring you that. I'm going to give you what you really want. This was only what you thought you wanted. You hear? You thought you wanted this because you thought this thing would bring you what you really want. But I know better what's going to really bring you what you want, and I'm going to address your wants rather than your thought you wants. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that maybe Hashem's kindness goes so far with us that even the things that we think we want, he doesn't want to disappoint us. Because if you know the nature of a human being, even those things that he may not really want, but that he thinks he wants, he's also disappointed. In other words, when this particular, it's the Baal Madrega who, when a big deal goes through, can say, hey, you know something? I didn't really want it. It wasn't for my good. Most people say, oh, I wanted it. It's not what you want. You want the success. This wasn't success. But I thought this is what I want. So it could work one way or the other.
Salanta, from a technical standpoint, he didn't need a gold watch. But to prove the halachic point, the Dashkafa point,
He really wanted it. Okay, very
right?
Good. Very good.
It's not like a material.
Very good.
What? Whoa.
Very good. But, you know, the danger in all of this, and this I just want to mention this to you because somebody told me this story yesterday. Not yesterday, I guess it was the day before yesterday. I just want to mention it because I think it's a very valid point. And he said that this guy, was a friend of his, had an appointment in Manhattan. Was the biggest appointment of his career. This is the make or break. This is the deal of a lifetime, you know. And he couldn't find parking, you know. And
that was really funny.
Okay, wait. Listen, he couldn't find parking, and he's going around and around and around. And it's time already. It's going to be late. The whole thing is going to explode. And he says, God, please give me a parking space. And he stops for a light, and he sees right past the light. As the light is changing, somebody's pulling out. He says, forget it, God. No, don't bother. I got a parking space already. We got to be very careful, you know, that we need him and we want him. We got to be careful not only to focus on the need or the want, but also not to lose focus of who's providing it, you know. Okay, let's just finish this up because it's late. This paragraph, if we can. Where were we? Oh, so he says, Yishlom Chepsu Zos, Be'efshe Shem Yisuh Reichom Va'anosh Va'ashonom Im Hasmoda So'avoyle Ve'orech HaYegiya Bohem Laila V'yom. He says, the odor and the smoke with the heavy schedule of work and the toil and effort that he has to put in can kill this guy. You know, so on the one hand, he has to work a lot. He's not going to get his desire without it, which was a sort of in parenthesis, we just went into that concept. And he says he could be killed in the process. He's fully in trust from no circumstances are going to come to him. Nothing is going to hurt him. And his heart can be secure and sure that no evil is going to befall him. And everything that comes to him from Hashem will be Sosan Simcha. The Baal, the alchemist doesn't necessarily, there's what do you call it, occupational hazards, and there's dangers, and there's this. Not so the Baal Bitochon. Everything that comes is only going to be happiness. And his sustenance will come to him with menucha, with peace, with rest, with quietness, with peace of mind. In the he will I guess he makes the sheep lie down in beautiful grass. On waters of rest he leads me. This is David HaMelech's expression. So that when you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only do you not need specific actions in order to get what you desire, and you do not put yourself in any danger, but you have ease, you're protected from any outside factors, and you can have a life of menucha, menucha sanefesh, menucha saguv, b'noisteshi arbitzeni, because there's really nothing that I have to do. There's no pressure. There's nothing. It's all taken care of for me. It's all done. I like to moshul. You know, I talk about Shabbos, so I like to refer to this two little stories that give this sense of how when Shabbos comes, I'm completely, my world is complete. I have nothing to worry about. So one story I tell about this rabbi used to borrow $10,000 from his president every Erev Shabbos and return it on Tzoi Shabbos. This went on for months. Finally, he asks him, he says, "Rabbi, I got no problem with the deal, but like, what does a rabbi do with $10,000 on Shabbos?" He says, "You have no idea how much better the drosha comes out with $10,000 in the bank. When I have it, there's nothing to worry about." Same thing I was when we bought this building. I remember Friday night, I walked into my house, and I told, it was the week before we had to close, I told my family, "I need $200,000 yet to close on this building, and I don't have it. What am I going to do?" I says, "But don't worry, because on Shabbos, all the money is in the bank. Everything's completed. My world is complete." The problem is, when you make Havdalah, it goes out. So I said, "I'm going to schedule the closing for Monday, and I'll make Havdalah on Tuesday." You know, I didn't do it exactly that way, and it worked out anyway. But that's the idea. It's a different lifestyle. The alchemist has to worry about working and overworking and getting sick from the smoke and getting sick from this. We have nothing. Everything is a life of ease when he's trusting our control.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.